And if God's done anything for you lately, especially touching your body or touching somebody's body that you know, he's just going to put both hands up. And we're going to thank him as we start praising him, okay? Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you for this chance to be in your house, God, to worship you in spirit and truth. God, we bring all these requests to you right now, Lord. We've made them known unto you. God, you can handle them. In the name of Jesus, touch each and every one, spoken and unspoken alike. Lord, touch each hand that is raised, Lord. Let your spirit rush through them. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. Hold just a minute. Say it. No. Yes. Awesome. There you go. There you go. Okay. Yes, it's not fun driving at night, and especially when you got to drive through no man's land. And if she's driving through no man's land up there and no man's land down here. But in between, there's some man land, so she'll be all right, man. Amen. All right, we've been doing so serious. Everything's been so serious. That's what we talked about, the storm. And so we're just going to do some simple stuff tonight. Simple, back to basic stuff, just something just to kind of jog us. And I didn't even fix it as nice as I'd like to, because I was kind of, this is kind of a, not last minute, but it's so close to last minute that last minute bit it. Okay. As the clock went by, it hit it. Okay. So here we go. What is praise? Now, I've noticed in these last days, and when I say last days, I'm talking about as a whole, and I'm talking about the time that we're living in. I'm not talking about just the last couple of weeks here. I'm talking about the last days. Now, there has been I've noticed a great moving of God's power, but I've also seen a great counter move. And that counter move is so subtle that you don't realize what's going on. Because if Satan just stood right up and said, okay, I'm coming at you, we go, no, you're not. If you go up and go, boo, we go, no, you're not. But it's a subtle, very subtle. He's been doing this for 6,000 years. He's been paying attention to mankind, but he's also been paying attention to us. So he knows just how to be subtle at the right time, at the right place, with the right person. And so he can come in and he can do an attack without you even realizing that he's attacking. And so one of the big things he tries to do is he tries to get us to stop praising God. Because I hear people all the time say, well, God don't talk to me. Yes, he does. You say, well, I've not talked to him lately. Well, pick up his word. He's always talking. He's always talking. Like, just pick up that word. He's talking. Okay, so well, I read the word that didn't really speak to me. Maybe not spoke to you today, but it'll be a time during the week that all of a sudden you're going to need it, and it's going to come up to you. Okay, so he will talk. So, praise. Also, the Bible tells us that praise is God's address. He dwells among the praise of God's people. So if it's his address, and he's worthy of it, what he does, and he actually requires it of us. Although he doesn't make us, he just says, I want y'all to praise me. But I'm not going to make you. You're going to have to do that on your own. So with all that in mind, and with all that, and also we need to pray for that. There was an earthquake in Mexico this morning, and so far 44 dead. They had an earthquake last week. Now they've had an earthquake this week. 44 dead. There's another hurricane coming up too. So it's like, wow. This is one of those really, really tough times. And Saturday, there's some kind of cosmic alignment, according to astronomers, that this cosmic alignment is supposed to be symbolic with the nation of Israel. And so Saturday, nothing may happen at all, but at the same time, I know that you can align Israel's clock with prophetic utterance. And you can also, astrology, Genesis Sagittarius and Taurus. No, I'm talking about astronomy. So astronomy, the way that things are lining up, it does look like again that something special is going to happen. Do I know for sure? No. Do some of the big thinkers think so? Sure. But they also thought Jesus Christ was coming back in 88 and 89 and 90 and 91 and 94. And they wrote books about it and they talked about it and they didn't come back. So, because he's coming back when he's ready, not when we're ready. It's like somebody told me, said, how long do you fight a bear? I don't fight a bear till I get tired. I have to fight a bear till he gets tired. Okay. The same way, Jesus Christ is coming back when he's ready, not when we're ready. I'm ready right now. Come on back. I was outside praying today. I said, Lord, it would be so nice. All the clouds. I said, it'd be so nice if you just come back today. It'd be so awesome. So here we go. Praise. Our praise should be in proportion to God's greatness. And that's pretty cool. And Jeannie did not know what this was. And Jeannie actually talked about all this, the songs that she picked out tonight. And so it's really been pretty cool. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. We didn't sing that one, but we sang about great is the Lord. So which means our praise has to be measureless. Think about this now. If our praise is in proportion to God's greatness, then our praise should be measureless. What does that mean? That means I really should not be able to count how many times a day I praise God. You should not be able to go along and say, well, he praised him two times a day. You know, no, it should be, you know, praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes thank you, Lord, still praising him. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. It means you're keeping him on your mind and you're keeping his greatness on your mind and you're responding to the thought of his greatness. Because actually, none of us can actually fathom the greatness of God. We're finite. He's infinite. We're bound by time. He's not. Can you just imagine the greatness of God? We're sitting here thinking, this problem right here, the car won't crank. It's a problem. We see that car, and it looks like a big old mountain, you know. And God's looking up now from heaven. He sees a little bitty speck, and he goes, watch this. Okay? So, at the same time, if you think about this thing, if you look at it, God, when you think about his greatness, when you think about all that God can do, is very powerful. It's an amazing thing. Trust God in all of it. Amen. So now, let's see here. The more we praise God, the more we acknowledge his greatness. Think about it that way. The more I praise God, the more I acknowledge him. That's pretty awesome. Now think about it. I can't say it enough. The more I praise him, the more I acknowledge him. It's like your spouse. If you want to really acknowledge your spouse, praise them. I'm going to talk in a couple of weeks about a way that you can have a 96% effective rate of predicting divorce in a marriage. 96%. And one of the ways is called the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And I'm gonna explain that to the church. I'm gonna do it because if anybody's doing that, you can stop it. You can be healed from this. You can stop it. And you can drop it as you stop it. If you're doing it, if you're doing these things, if you'll stop it, the rate will go down, 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 down. Because it's not irreparable. But if you keep doing it, the chances are greater and greater and greater. So your spouse, your friends, if you want to acknowledge them, praise them. I don't mean some old empty praise, something you made up. I mean literally praise them in such a way that they know that it's real, that it's genuine, that you're actually complimenting them for something, a compliment, praise. You know, I was sitting there the other day on the couch and I was talking about something. And while I was talking about something, all of a sudden, while I'm talking about it, Linda pops up and goes, well, you're so good at that. I mean, and I weren't expecting it. I mean, I'm not saying she don't praise me or compliment me. I didn't mean that. I'm just saying as though it just took me off guard. You know what I'm saying? Because I was sitting and I was trying to figure out a problem. And I was working on it. And I was trying to work out this problem. And I was going back and forth. And then she goes and she says, but you're so good at that. And you know what it did? It bolstered me and boosted me and helped me believe that I could solve that problem. Okay? Matter of fact, I was taking a test. I only missed three out of the whole test. There was only four questions, but only missed three. No, I'm not playing. No, it was funny though, because that was fun. That was funny. Okay, what I was gonna say is, if you can find a way to praise God more, you'll find your life not necessarily getting any easier as far as what's coming at you, but you'll find it getting easier how you handle it. Okay, think about it. If you can learn to praise God in every situation, remember, it may not stop it coming to you, but it can help how you receive it. Okay, because when you receive it with a praise, you say, God, you got this. God, you got it. You know, I can think a lot lately. I go to the hospital or something, or I go to a nursing home, or go in there and see things going on, or go try to help somebody. And then I hear that. I hear praise him. I say, God, you got this. It's yours. Matter of fact, a lot of times I would get going somewhere, and especially when I was a chaplain, because you've heard me talk about being a chaplain, an on-call chaplain at Pittmore Hospital, I may get 50 calls a night. And so those 50 calls, or at least minister to 50 people, maybe 50 calls, be more like maybe 25 calls or 30, but it'd be 50 people in those calls. And so it's like you're going. And sometimes while you're working at one, you got a buzzer going, your pager going off. There's another one. And one needs counseling, one needs prayer, one needs to talk about something, blah, 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 blah. Then they call you to the emergency room because they got trauma. And I'd always say, okay, Lord, this is going to take me and you. And I said, mostly you. I'm going to ride this one out, Lord. Okay, I'm riding out with you because I don't know what to do. All right. Now, so, and I just learned a lot of lessons as a chaplain because you had seconds, I mean literally seconds, to be able to comprehend what's going on, figure out, look around the room, see what's going on, pick out the people, and talk to them and minister to them just like that. And so that taught me a lot as time went on, is that if I can learn to trust God and praise Him, God will tell me. He'll tell you too, all of us. And there's no, he doesn't have it. Look, he might spoil his kids, but he don't have any favorites. Okay? All right. So here we go. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Wow. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Greatly to be praised. I like, again, we got to understand that God has got everything under control. Amen. Everything. Y'all say it with me. Everything under control. Look at somebody and tell them. God's got it. What is it? Yeah, hold on. I'm looking up something. I think I might have made a little boo-boo. I don't make very many of them. When I do, I make sure they do them good. I don't know about y'all, but when I do it, I make sure that, you know, I'm going to make it worth the effort. My mama said, son, when you're good, you're good, but when you're bad, you're worse. Okay. So here we go. Here we go. Calm down. There we go. Okay. Great is the Lord, and great to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. God is no wonder I had the wrong button pushed. That's what it was. I didn't think I'd messed up. See, I was wrong one time, but I found out later I was right. So let's see. No, that's why God gave us wives, so we can find out just how wrong we are. Okay. Somebody asked me, said, who preaches to the preacher? I said, my wife don't call me Brother David. My wife says, David, you better get in here right now. All right, here we go. Matter of fact, I think I told y'all I had Linda down on her in the hands and knees begging the other night. Yep. She said, get out from under this bed and fight like a man. No, she didn't. You ready? Here we go. She will be watching. She will, and she'll come back to me and say, why did you say that? All right. Great is the Lord and highly. This is the Amplified Version. Here it is. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Here's the Hebrew. Great is the Lord and highly to be praised in the city of our God, His holy mountain. the message. God's majestic praise abounds in our God, city, his sacred mountain. That's the Hebrew kind of put together. So God is so awesome. Who else do you know of that can go with you and go with you where when the doctor says nobody else can go? When Linda was having that surgery, Linda, a couple years ago was having surgery, and she didn't think it was going to be a full-fledged surgery. And they come in and put the bands on her legs, you know, to keep pumping it up. And she'd come in, and the anesthesiologist was talking to her. She said, "This is only a 15-minute procedure." I said, "Linda, it's not a procedure. You're thinking of it's a surgery." She said, "I've never had surgery." I said, "Well, you will after today." And so it's just a procedure, 15 minutes. I said, "No, it's surgery." And then the doctor came in, or the anesthesiologist, I said, "Tell her what she's having today." He said, "Oh, you're having surgery." And so I held her hand the whole time it was going down, what they were talking about. And then I held her hand until they came in and said, "You got to go." And I walked her all the way to the surgical room. And then I had to let go of her hand. But you know what? I may have let go of her hand, but God didn't. And what was so cool about God is I thought it was going to be like a 45-minute procedure. It took almost 3 hours. And they didn't come out and tell me anything. So I was kind of concerned, you know. But I had God hold my hand at the same time holding Linda's hand. Isn't that awesome? That's how great God is. And holding the surgeon, too. Because the surgeon just did some amazing work. So here we go. What is praise? Praise means to command, to applaud, to express approval or admiration of, to extol in words or song, to magnify, to glorify, to honor, and to celebrate. I like to think about magnify. Wow, can you just imagine? Because in this world today, you know, try something, if you can think about it. Next time, try it like you, just tell them that you're like, what's that guy's name on Fox News? I'm trying to think of it now that goes around and talks, asks those questions. I'll think of it in a minute. In Waters World, walk in Walmart and just ask anybody, say, how many times did, watch this, how many times did Moses march around the wall? Y'all know that, but you'll be surprised. You'll be so surprised because this stuff's not being taught anymore. It's just like U.S. history. You can go up there and talk U.S. history to young people now, and they have no idea what you're talking about. United States history is not being taught because a lot of times it's not politically correct, so they don't teach it. And if you don't teach it, don't learn from history, you're going to repeat it. The same way, if you don't learn the Word of God, then, you know, it just blows me away when I start talking to people. I've even talked to ministers, and I'm talking to young ministers, and I'm not talking about anybody around here. I'm talking about, like, maybe I'll be somewhere and I'll see some. And I had one young man, I was preaching a revival, and this young man come up, and he told me, he said, I was reading the Bible, and I did preach a sermon, and I forget what it was on. I think it was on Hezekiah or Elijah or something. And he came up to me and said, "Where'd you find that?" I said, "Find what?" He said, "Elijah. Is he in the Bible?" I said, "Excuse me?" He said, "Well, see, I'm going to start pastoring a church next week, and I think I'd like to use that." And I said, "Can I ask you a question?" He said, "Yes, sir." I said, "Have you ever read the Bible all the way through?" He says, "No, but I will." "And you're going to pastor a church next week?" "Oh, yeah." I said, "Have you ever had any formal training?" Not you don't have to have necessary formal training, but you at least need to read the Bible. He goes, "No." And I said, "Do you know anything about counseling or leading or anything?" He says, "No, God will tell me." And he was in that revival all week, and I kept watching him, and he kept coming to me and asking me some of the simplest questions. And I finally went up to him because I really felt like he needed to hear this. I felt like if I hadn't done it, I would have done him an injustice. And I told him, I said, can I tell you something? I pulled him to the side. I said, "Can I be frank and honest with you?" He said, "Sure." I said, "You're not going to get mad at me." He says, "No." I said, "Good. Put your hands in your pocket. Give me a chance to run before he starts swinging." I told him, I said, you have about as much business pastoring that church next week as my 12-year-old son. And he did get upset. He said, why you say that? I said, because you're not prepared. I said, you're dangerous. You're dangerous to those people and you're dangerous to yourself. And they're going to hurt you and you're going to hurt them because you're not ready. He goes, whoa. I said, no. I didn't say you weren't called to preach. I never said that. I said, you're not prepared to preach. There's a difference. There's a big difference. And I said, you would do them a whole lot of good to just go ahead and tell them I'm not going to take it. Go to a Bible college. At least read the Bible through. If you got any questions, I gave them my card. You got any questions, you can call me. We'll work through this. I said, but you're going to be dangerous and you're going to get hurt and they're going to get hurt. I never knew what happened because he got mad and didn't come back to revival. But I told him the truth. Because it's dangerous out here, period. And people have to know what they're doing. I don't want the new cars we got. Honestly, I hade to say it, but the old days of shade tree mechanicing's over. It's electronic technician working on cars. You know what I'm saying? And I'm gonna tell you something. My dad is one of the best mechanics I've ever seen. My father-in-law, two of the best mechanics I've ever seen. But you get these new things going, they go, huh? Huh? You know, so it's very important. But watch this. It's important to be able to magnify God before people because people are not magnifying Him. They are actually bringing Him down smaller and smaller. They've got Him to the size of man now and smaller, and they put Him in their pocket. And they take Him out when they need Him and put Him back. And that's not how it is. I don't need, you know, a friend of mine years ago was in Haiti, and they said they were trying to sell him gods. And he said they had all kinds of gods, and they were little bitty gods. And he says, here, we have a god you can hold in your hand. He says, I don't need your god. My god holds me in his hand. Greatly, great, great, great god. So praise is proclaiming and declaring things about God. This is so simple. I wish I had made it a little sweeter, you know, cleaned it up more, but this is fine. We praise God directly. Watch this now. We praise God directly by expressing our admiration to Him when we say, you are. God, you are awesome. God, you are mighty. God, there is nobody like you. God, wow. Husbands, you want your wife to feel better about herself? Try something like that with her. You're awesome. You're beautiful. You make a difference in my life. I don't know how I could live without you. Husbands, I mean, you know, wives, you want to see your husband pep up, say, hubby, you're just an awesome man. You're awesome. Yeah, we do. It's born in most people. I tell you what, though, when DC first got married, he was dating, and he hadn't learned how to cook a steak yet. And he invited me over to his house, and Amy was over there. And he said, Dad, come on over here. He said, I want to cook a steak. Matter of fact, he just come back from Tennessee, tried to make it big after his mama died, and he went down there, and the Lord didn't want him there. He come back, and he had steaks, and he come out, and he put them on the grill, and he come back in, and Amy was in there putting up the other stuff, and DC come out with the fork in his hand and the whatever, and Amy went right over and took them right out of his hand and walked over and said, here, David, can you hold these? I said, well, I don't want to hold this for you. She said, because DC is not cooking that steak. She said, he does not know what he's doing. But now, he'll cook a steak and bring tears to your eyes. Amen. But he used to bring tears to your eyes before because it'd be so tough you'd have to pull. All right. You are. God, you are awesome. God, you are my hope. God, you are my inspiration. God, you are my protector. God, you know ahead. You've already seen ahead, and you're leading me in a way to protect me and to guide me. So, again, directly. We praise God indirectly by magnifying Him to others. So remember, directly by putting the words you are. Indirectly by saying He is. Think about it. How often do you tell people He is? He's my provider. He's my source. He's my strength. There's nobody like Him. He's my all in all. You know, matter of fact, I've seen a lot of people, and it's sad to say, but I've seen a lot of people, you know, they'll talk Christianese. They'll talk Christianese to you if you're a Christian. But if you're not a Christian, they won't necessarily say anything to you. Amen? Because they get kind of scared. So again, it's important. Look, you are, he is. You are, he is. You want to lift him up? You are awesome, God. He is awesome to others. So our praise is based on and focuses both on the character of God and the acts that he does toward us, his children. So it's based on and focused on both the character of God and the acts he does. So God is worthy to be praised just because who he is. Just keep getting more and more confounded. Here we go. Isn't God awesome? In the middle of all the confounded. All right. So, God is worthy to be praised just because of who he is. If God never did another thing for me, I could still never thank him. There's some folks, honestly, especially in this generation we got coming up, you got to be feeding them. I said, if you're going to be feeding them praise, you got to be feeding them whatever. I was talking to Linda about service Sunday. She read the PowerPoint that y'all saw Sunday. She read the PowerPoint. And she said, you notice that Jesus, when they got Peter back on the boat, he didn't praise Peter for at least getting out the boat. And I said, yeah, but today's day and time, he would praise Peter and say, good job, good job, good job. Good job. And then give the other disciples a trophy for showing up. Amen? That's how it is. You know, again, I counted in the last couple of weeks how many times I went to the store and they were supposed to give me back 27 cents, $1.02. But if it was 2 or 3 cents, they gave me back everything but the pennies. Why? Do they think it's not worth anything, or do they think I don't see, I can't count? You know, I've gone to the grocery store and go to the grocery store and go in there and pay something and the cash register's down, and they can't count the money out to me. And I'm not talking about illegitimate. I don't know if they're illegitimate or not, but I'm talking about ignorant kids. They're pretty bright and intelligent kids, but they've never been taught that. They just got that cash register telling them what to do. And so again, I'm just telling you, it's up to us to praise God for just who he is and tell others about him for just who he is. Praise is a function of our will, not our emotions. Wow. You know, when my mama died, I'm sitting here. I got my phone up here in case there's an emergency, and I just had an emergency, but they don't know we're in service. Okay, let me do this. I'll text you later. Okay. Yeah, I did. I told them that. All right. So, praise is a function of our will and our emotions. But I remember my mama was dying, and I remember going. I just moved to Benson. We found out my mama's heart problems, that she had 9 blockages in her heart. 9. They said that she had coronary artery disease, and that all of her vessels were just closing up. And they counted when they went there to did the catheterization, 9 blockages in her heart. And I was feeling so bad. I got in the church and I closed the door. It was like on a Saturday night. All I could see was the street lights. In the church. That was it. And I was in there and I said, Lord, I am so angry. And I said, I'm angry about this situation. And I said, to be honest with you, God, I'm angry at you. I said, you knew mama was going to need me before I left. And you didn't stop me. You waited till I got here to hear about this thing. And I said, I'm angry. And the Lord spoke to me and said, it's okay. I'm a big God. I can take you. He did. And then he said, watch this. I let you get over here because I need you to learn something. You need to learn how to let the dead bury the dead. That's tough. See, that scripture didn't mean that it said, I want to go bury my dad. Didn't mean his dad was dead. It meant his dad was dying. And it says, I want you to look. Do you know that I wound up doing more for my mama from Benson than I did from Chocolate? God enabled me to do more for mama than you ever imagined, because she was in Greenville Hospital and I could get there in an hour. And it was just, I fed her lunch every other day. I did a lot for mama during that time. And mama said, oh, how you doing all this? I said, it's God. We got everything taken care of, me and him. But I had to learn that I've got to put him first. If I put his business first, he'll put my business first. Let the dead be. Many times, this is what the Lord was showing me, many times we base what we're going to do for God on circumstance. If the circumstance is right, I'll work for you, God. If the circumstances aren't right, I won't. And God says, that's not what I need. I need somebody to work with me in spite of the circumstances. I need somebody that's going to get up and go when they don't feel like it. I need somebody that's going to get up and go when they don't understand. I sent a mighty army out, I think it was Sunday. Living by faith requires unanswered questions. I've got a bunch of unanswered questions. But you know what? When I get to heaven, somebody said, I ask God when I get to heaven. Honestly, when I get to heaven, I'm pretty sure I won't care. That's right. So let the dead bury the dead. What he was saying was those that were the dead, they were not actually dead, they were dying. And he was saying let the dead bury the dead. He was actually saying, let those that are prepared for this work do this work. That's not what I called you to do. So again, I spent more time with mama the last 2 years of her life than I ever did when I was even pastoring closer. So again, God has everything under control. So here we go. We must will ourselves to pray even when we don't feel like it. It should be based on God's greatness, not our feelings. If I base it on my feelings, there's times I wouldn't even get out of bed. How about y'all? That's right. You know, I sit back there, and I've seen several people in this congregation right now been sick. Sister Mary, I saw how sick Sister Mary was. I saw how sick you were, Sister Maxine. Okay, Brother Wayne, with your back, you know, I watched y'all as y'all were being sick and what y'all were going through. Same way with you when you were back. And that, I kept seeing y'all praise God. Praise God. Been through things, and I watched them praise God. Isn't that right, Sister? That's right. Praise God, because you know what it does? It's not based on feelings. It's based on faith. It's not based on what I'm thinking. It's based on my emotions. It's based on my will. I will bless the Lord. Amen. Also, Psalm 103:1, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless, affectionately, gratefully praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is deepest within me. Bless his holy name. So I like what the message says. O my soul, bless God from head to toe. I'll bless his holy name. Amen. So I'm going to go ahead and try to go through this. Matter of fact, is there any questions? Anybody got any questions or any comments? I'll tell you what we'll do. I'm gonna do something here. Now listen. Now we're gonna stop right here and finish it next week, because I thought it was light. Oh, it's really good. Yeah, I'm still going to stop here, because I don't want to hurry. Okay, we're stopping at Psalm 103. Okay, and just let me say this. David commanded his soul to bless the Lord. Now, remember this. Man is made up of flesh, soul, and spirit. The soul is your heart, your will, and emotions. Okay? The spirit is what actually gives you life and what communicates with God. So think about this. Pneuma, the spirit, communicates with God. The soul, the heart, the will, the emotions, communicates not only with God, but communicates with man. Okay? And so David was saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, my heart, my will, my emotions. I'm not going to be caught up in some kind of emotional roller coaster when it comes to blessing God. I'm going to praise Him. I was at my mama's funeral. I'm at the funeral home at the visitation. I'm sitting there, and somebody walked up to me, and they said, "I come up here to bless you, and I've been blessed." I said, "I don't know how you're being so strong." And if they could have seen inside of me. Inside of me was a little kid going, "God, can this please stop?" But outside, I was being strong. You know why? Because under my breath, I kept saying, "Thank you, God. Praise your name. You're an awesome God. You got mama now. Mama's up in heaven with you. And I thank you, God. She's not hurting anymore." And so I was talking under my breath the whole time. You know, talking to God. Me and God. There was one time we went to a visitation, and we were going around waiting to get with the family, and we were good ways. We were probably from here to there from the coffin, and we're going along, and I got my hand, I'm just holding it. And Linda, because Linda didn't like me to squeeze it because her hand sometimes hurts, and so she had her hand like this, or like this, or not this, and all of a sudden her hand slipped, and then it came back. Unless it felt a little different, but I wasn't paying attention because I was talking to people. And so I walked from that wall to the piano. Thought I was holding my wife's hand. When I got to the coffin, somebody tapped me on the shoulder. And there's a preacher friend of mine. I was holding his hand. The preacher from the Pentecostal Holiness Church in Shakopee. He looked at Linda and went, "Shh." And he moved her hand. He put his hand in there. So I've been walking around telling everybody how sweet God was, how good God was. And I'm holding this guy by the hand. He's just going. That's the truth. Yeah, it's a story to be told. Yeah, because it's the truth. But yeah, so we're going to stop right here. Here's what I'm going to do for tomorrow. This is what I'm going to do now. For tomorrow, here's what you got to do. I want you to practice praising God. You say, "I already praise Him." Well, if you're already praising, I want you to double up your effort. Okay? Sister Kitty said that God is just taking a lot of weight off for her, and she feels deliverance. And part of it is because she's praising God. I bet you praise God more now, too, don't you, Sister Kitty? You know, I do that. When I find myself down and out, when I start praising God. Or I'll be sitting there and the situation gets out of control and I'm going, oh. And the Lord will say, "But have you talked to me about it yet?" Yes. 1 out of 25 turns green. Amen. Amen. And so again, like I'm saying, is God says, are you talking to me? And what it means is, are you praising me? And I found out a lot of times, and Bethany's good about this. She can't remember what I've asked her to do, but she remembers what I need to do. That's the woman in her. Okay. But she's my grocery list, and she's my whatever I got to do during the day. I say, "Bethany, you make sure I do this," and she'll tell me. And I'll get riding down the road and won't be paying attention to where I'm going because I'm praising or thinking about school or thinking about work. I mean, the church, or thinking about the situation, I'm getting ready to go get in, and Bethany say, "Turn left, Dad." "Oh, thank you." So I turn left. What I was going to say is, though, she also says, "I love it." I'll be sitting there going, "Watch this. But Lord, I praise you, but I just got that much." And Bethany will pop and say, "Baby steps, Dad. Baby steps." Okay. I'll get a stoplight, like she said, I go, "Can I catch one green?" Bethany says, "Well, try praising it. The next one, you might get one." And what's really bad is when I go, "Praise you, God," and it does turn green. She goes, "See?" That's right. I do love you. There's no doubt about it. Okay, so here we go. All right, here we go. Next week, we'll finish this up. But it's pretty cool, and you can carry your outline with you. I'll have some more for next week. I might even clean them up a little bit, make it a little nicer. But practice praising. Now, remember this now. Here's the praises I want you to do. It's very important because in this day and time, there's more direct expression of admiration than there is indirect. Okay? Direct is, remember, you are awesome, God. We can say it under our breath. I can say you are awesome just by walking down the road and thinking, "God, you're is such awesome. Every morning we ride over the bridge. What did I say, Bethany? God is so awesome. And I see the water and the sun over the bridge coming up. Remember the water? It's just gorgeous. A little bit of fog. It's just awesome. And I say, God's good. You know, and so I see that, and it's right before that or after that, you know, the mighty army goes out. So I'm in already thinking about mighty army, and then I see that, and it's just always so awesome. But you know what we find a hard time doing is indirectly magnifying him by talking about him to others. He is my source. He is my strength. He can fix your problem. He can take care of you. I do it all the time. I say, have you discounted God? You mean you're saying there's no hope? You know, when there's no hope, that's when God steps in. A lot of times, that's when God wants it. He'll allow us to get to the point where there's no hope. So we'll quit. You know, you've heard me tell the story. When I was a little boy, I remember riding down 15th Street, and there was one of the houses there had a big picture window, and there was the big old flowers up there. And I think there were some cars all lined up. And I said, what is that, Mama, Daddy? And they said, their son drowned. And they've got him in there in front of the picture window in the house. And I'd never seen anything like that. I mean, I was still so young. But I remember the story they told me. And they said, my daddy said, son, he was an expert swimmer. Said, but he didn't wear his wetsuit like everybody else did. And he went down. And said, in the cold, he panicked. And people tried to help him. But they had to let go of him because they were taking them down too. An expert swimmer. He wouldn't calm down. They couldn't even help him. And so he drank. Now, think about that. Tomorrow, when things are going bad, don't panic. Praise. If you panic, you'll have a problem. Because if you panic, things will get worse. But if you'll praise, I guarantee you, even if the situation doesn't change, your perspective does. Okay? And if your perspective changes, then that's worth it all. Amen? All right. All hearts and minds clear? Yes, ma'am. Let it rip. You're what now? You're an angel? That's not. But it's not biblically. So she has to look up biblically sound stuff. The Bible says to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. And the Bible tells us that our soul goes to be with God, but our body's in the ground. And so at the rapture, the people that are alive, they will be transformed on the way up. And the people that are dead, the Bible says that Jesus is going to bring the saints with him, the souls, and they're going to come and there's going to be a transformation. There's going to be glorified bodies. See, when people die, they don't have a glorified body. Jesus is the only one with a glorified body right now. All of our loved ones that died before us, the ones that died before us are alive and well. They're doing better than we are. But they are, and they're not, they probably are singing, but they're not angels. The angels is made lower. Right now, the angels are made higher. But when we get that state, we're going to be lower because we're going to be, the angels are ministering to us. They're ministering spirits. And it's a misnomer about God needing another angel in the choir. You know, it makes a good country song. You know. but no. Okay. Same thing. Nothing changes because you know what? What if somebody gets blown up? There's people at 9/11, there's no trace whatsoever of their bodies because when that jet fuel hit, it not only cremated them, it just, they were gone. incinerated. Thank you. Just gone. And so the Bible says that the sea's going to give up its dead. When Jesus comes back, the sea's going to give up its dead. You know, I thought to think of it this way. What about the people that were buried without tombs? Or buried without nothing but just a wooden box? You know, think about it. They've been buried with a wooden box. It didn't take long before the worms got them. And then the worm, look, you ought to think about it this way. When the rapture takes place, if I was buried without a tomb, I was just buried without a vault, and I was in a wooden box, and the box was gone, and the worms were eating me, and then the worms wind up being eaten by the birds, and then the birds, they went over and they dropped them over on a little, they're trying to feed their babies, and they drop them in the fish gets. And the fish takes that worm and goes over. When the rapture takes place, that fish is going to come over and going to spit that worm up. That worm's going to go back up in that fish's mouth. I mean, the bird's mouth. The mouse is going to fly back and put that worm back there where I was a worm. And my mom will go, something. I'm going to come back with my body. Going to be awesome. I mean, that's just my imagination. What I'm going to say is that the Bible says that the sea is going to give up its dead. And so cremation. See, here's what I hear people say. Somebody told me just the other day, they said they believe the reason that cremation is a sin is because Jesus was buried. And I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. And we should do like Jesus. Well, in that case, then we should have a tomb. And on the tomb have a limestone slat. And we ought to be wrapped up in fabric and laid on that limestone slat and allowed to decay. And after you decay, the family comes in and takes the bones and puts them in a bone box. And in the tomb, there's the bones from Uncle Fred. There's the bone from Aunt Pet. There's Daddy's bones. There's Rover's bones. You know, all these bones. And when the Bible says, talking about Elijah's bones, when the soldier came in and they hid the dead soldier in Elijah's tomb, and when he touched the bones, he came back to life, that bone box. So, Jesus was not buried like they do at Paul's funeral home. And not only that, but the Bible says, God said, I won't allow my son to, his body to see decay. So he never even saw decay. So we can leave that one out. I mean, it's okay if that's what you want to think, and I'm not going to argue with you. I'm just telling you is that doesn't really hold a whole lot of water. You know. Well, you're good on that, so go ahead. You're my daughter. You're good at that. You've been trained well. I hate to be buried in a grave with 50 live people. That's good. Now go ahead. I'm just playing with you, girl. What does that mean? That means, okay. Are we going anywhere with this? There's a lot of people that are in open graves. People in the Civil War, people in all kinds of wars. I knew a guy that his job in the Vietnam War was he went after the battle, and you've seen this on Platoon. You see this on Platoon, the very last scene, that they got bulldozers and they go through and they dig a great old big hole, and they take the bodies and they push them in the hole and they throw lime over them and they cover them up. Okay, I mean that's what he did. That was his job. You know, I mean that's some bad stuff. But you know, again. We got to think about something. Death, the Bible says that when God comes back, death is not going to be able to touch us again. That's the last enemy. It's gone. It's dead. Death is dead. It's not going to bother us. And this right here is just an old fleshly body. But inside of this, you know what I'm saying? My mama had four kids. She had three normal kids and one exceptional one. Oh, that was Larry. Okay. Now, the Bible says in Psalm that the grave cannot praise you. The grave cannot praise you. But again, it's talking about, see, that's where people get soul sleep. the idea of soul sleep. And some people try to say there is no hell. Hell is the grave, because no, the Bible clearly states, and it shows us in Revelation, people up under the altar that have been martyred, and it talks about the people that had died before. And so remember this, according to the Bible, what you're talking about is really when it says that nothing's going on, it's talking about the grave. You can't do in the grave what you can do on earth. Okay? We can't. Because we're commanded to do something here while we're living. Once we die, then it's all over. Okay? So that's why it's important we do it now. And these people talking about praying for the dead, you can pray for them all you want to. But if they're not ready, they're not ready. And if they are ready, they are. And, you know, my father-in-law got a paper saying, help us pray. We're trying to pray for, from some monks. And we're praying for this and that. We're praying for all the dead, praying for the souls of the dead, and blah, 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 blah. And he said, you need to pray about what God would have you to put in this envelope. This is true. It happened this morning. Bethany will tell you. He said, the Lord answered me. I said, Lord, tell me what to put in this envelope. And he took the envelope up, and it was already sealed. Yeah. And so, but the mail was already, sealed. And he said, Lord, there's my answer. I'm going to send you I got an empty envelope. I got to open it up and put it in there. And my follow gives to a lot of people too. But again, you got to watch how you give. Last night we had some big old blankets and Linda, Bethany and Linda traded places last night. Cause Bethany had been at our mother-in-law's house, my mother-in-law's house. Yeah. You've been there quite a while. And so Linda was going back last night. So we stopped and I had a couple of comforters I wanted to wash. And Linda said, please don't wash them in the washing machine. She said, why don't you take them to the laundromat? I said, okay. So Bethany, Linda, and I stopped, and we got us some milkshake at the cookout. And then Linda went on to her mama's house, and Bethany and I went to the laundromat. And so I was sitting there, and I'm doing homework and working on stuff for Sunday here. And this guy walks up, and he says, can I talk to you? I knew what was coming on. He said, can I have a few dollars so I buy me a coffee in the morning? And he didn't look like he was really, I mean, really honestly did not act like he was all there. And I could tell that he really was having a problem. He said, can I have a couple of bucks so I can get some coffee and donut in the morning? I said, I'm going to tell you one better than that. I said, let's go to the vending machine. But I realized the store was next. So I said, no, let's go to the store. I'll get you whatever you want. And so he got him a sandwich and heated it up, and he got him a water. I said, I want you to get you a honey bun for in the morning and get you some water or juice or whatever for in the morning. And if you want for lunch tomorrow, go ahead and get it. I'll take care of it. And then he told me, so what I really want is for you to buy me a pack of cigarettes. I said, well, that ain't going to happen. That's why I'm buying this. And so he said, well, I reckon this is enough. I said, I told you, I'll feed you. I'll feed you, but I ain't going to feed your habit. And he thanked me, and he came back to the laundromat with us. And when we left, I told Bethany, I said, Bethany will tell you that happens about 5 times a week. Yeah, Linda told me, she said, it just means that you're showing the love of Jesus. I said, no, I got a sign saying gullible. She said, well, that too. Oh, definitely. Yes. They'll do that all the time. That people do that all the time. They use kids in married couples use kids, and that's so sad. Yeah, you know, that's extremely sad. instead of trying to work out what's best for the children, let's work out what's best for me, and I'll use the kid as my pawn. It's terrible. Absolutely terrible. That's why something I noticed on television just recently, there's a, I think the attorney is around here, she's around here somewhere, and I think it's either in somewhere close by New Bern or somewhere, but I don't forget what exactly how they call it, but it was not the fault-free divorces, but it was the less painful divorces, and they offer counseling to the family that's going through the divorce, and they even try to mediate in a way that doesn't cause harm, because it's going to cause harm no matter what. It's going to cause harm, but less harm than it would if there was just everybody attacking one another. And so I thought that was so awesome. But again, Bethany, we went through all this, but you're talking about, where were we at? Oh, the guys stopped me last night. And it happens all the time. I told Linda, I said, Linda, do I look like a rich white man walking around? And she said, no, you just, that's when she said, no, you, here it goes, praise your husband. She says, and she's, no, she said, no, you just omit the love of Jesus. And I wrote back and said, no, I'm gullible. She said that too. Okay. That's right. Because, you know, I'm telling you something. Can you imagine? You know, it's like my mama, when she died, she had lost both her legs up to her hips. And little nubs, and she had lost her sight, and the only thing that was good about her was her heart, and they had to work on it 5 or 6 times, and so it weren't even working right, but it was working. She had the weirdest blood pressure, but again, I thought about that thing. I said, now she goes up there, and she's on two legs. Yeah, when her body comes back, God's not going to resurrect that body with no legs. You're going to get a glorified body with legs and with eyes and all of that. So that's why it's better. Mama was better off when she took that first, that last breath of earth air and that first breath of heaven's air. She was whole again. Wow. That's better. Y'all, hold on. Think, that's right. Breathe. I would think, from what I've heard and what I've seen, it's going to be all ages, yeah, but at the same time, yeah, I would think everybody would be like Jesus was when he resurrected. And he was 33, so they recognized him in his 30s. I can just imagine that the people that were, like that guy that said, and a little boy that said that he went to heaven, and he started talking about a brother that had died that he didn't know about, but he was grown. So I think it's everybody's at the right thing. In their prime. That's right. That's exactly right. That's a good way to look at it. Not mature or old folks, like you want to say. Because think about it. You know, that song by Paisley that's in Brad Paisley that talks about when I see my grandpa, we're going to run. He'll match me step for step when I get to heaven. Get where I'm going. Yeah. Yeah. But now. Oh, yeah. Him and Dolly singing. Yeah. So, any more questions? That's good questions, Beth. It really is. But we can ask me some more later on, though. Okay. Well, that's what everybody else is. That's why I said, go ahead, Beth, and say it. Say it. Think. I like it. Think. Breathe. But say it. I look at the people behind you. I says, think, Bethany. Breathe, Bethany, but please say it. Look, Bethany and I have some big discussions right down the road. I told her, I said, Bethany, you have no idea the education you're getting. Right down the road, she's with me sometimes when I'm counseling or if somebody says, no, she can stay, let her stay. And I said, okay, or we're walking down in Walmart and they start asking questions. And I had somebody the other day say, your daughter sure is so smart. She can offer you some good advice and she knows the Bible. And I said, who? They said Bethany. I said, that's because she's around it all the time. I said, why do you think your brothers are so good at it? They don't even realize the education they were getting, you know, hands-on. And so Bethany and I, we talk a lot about the Bible and talk about hereafter and all that stuff while we're riding down the road. And sometimes it's good stuff, sometimes it's crazy stuff. But still, that's good. All right, our hearts and minds clear while Giggles is giggling. I will tell you what she did to me the other day. Can you turn that off now, please? Please turn it off. I don't want this on. Okay, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. Lord, help us to pray for. I mean, help us to praise you tomorrow, indirectly and directly. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, cut it off. All right, we're in Popeyes. We're in Popeyes with an all-black staff. And there's black ladies behind us and black guys beside us. And Bethany looks up. She says, ma'am, she says, what is Caucasian rice? And that lady first thought she was trying to be funny or cut up or make fun. And she goes, excuse me. And I saw it. It moved like this. And all she saw was K and un. And so she said, the Caucasian rice. I said, Bethany. And so the lady says, I'm sorry, dear. And I said, she means Cajun. She goes, oh. Matter of fact, about 15 people went, oh. I was thinking, I mean, I was hearing stuff. Caucasian rice. So if you want to go to Popeyes, they got Caucasian rice there, okay? That was so funny. Afterwards, when I saw they weren't going to fight.